is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got Vicky by my side.
Hello, Thrive family.
To talk to you about talking, because the use of words, the stewardship of words, is at the heart of a marriage. I know we tend to think about intimacy, we tend to think about hobbies, we tend to think about work schedules, and all that matters, budget, finances, use of money, but notice, to have a shared hobby, you have to have the ability to talk.
Yeah, they all require
to
words.
Raise kids, you talk. Mm-hmm. To talk about
or
money.
Should. Mm-hmm.
As I try to help couples, I find at the very heart of their marriage struggles is an inability to use words well. And believe it or not, you think you chose them, you think you're both smart, and you probably are both smart, but we do not automatically communicate well.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that has to be learned and leaned into to do well. And not just learn it, lean in initially. Nope. For a lifetime.
Right.
Because drift is never to a better place. Vicky and I believe still today, if we let up, could begin to drift someplace not helpful. But don't hear what I'm not saying. Oh, it is not as hard today.
Right.
As
we
it
much
was
more
initially.
Quickly work through things.
Yeah. And so, believe it or not, habit, we tend to say the word habit for something bad. Oh, he has a bad habit. Oh, she has this bad habit. Habit is actually something amazing that God gave us. You can form some new habits in your marriage that would make huge difference. And some of this has to do with what are you talking about? Some of you need to reach outside the zone of where you just regularly tread water and traffic in your use of communication and words, and grab some other things. The article that I started off with a few shows ago was from a psychologist who said, he did a survey, he did research, he studied. He's like, what makes some couples healthier than others? They talk about five areas that many couples never touch on. He said, number one, the state of the relationship. Can you say, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? I know that was a hard week. They stay curious about their spouse. Ask them about what you know they care about. A terrarium, a type of music, somewhere they've been, something they're doing. And then we talked in our last show about, talk about the future. Bring the future into the present. Don't get stuck in right here, right now, and certainly don't live in the past. Open a window that points you to the future and have some of your conversations, whether it's should we have another child, whether it's should we relocate to a different house, whether it's, hey, what would you like to do, 2 years from now? Or maybe someone has a skill they've always wanted to develop. Even for me, a little thing is she knows that I've talked about it for decades. I would love to play the piano.
I'd love to see it happen.
I hope she would love to hear it because, again, this is a guy that loves music. So I'm thinking about taking piano lessons in retirement. I've talked about pickleball. Oh, my goodness. I would love to play pickleball. All these things are future. But here's a fourth area that he said. He said they are able and willing to talk about their fears and stressors. Now, I got to say, to even venture into this zone, you've got to be working on an area that we've touched on many times.
Mm-hmm.
Your spouse has to feel safe around you. And so if you've used words in a way that are hurtful, in a way that has shut them down, in a way that has shamed them,
mm-hmm.
that has communicated, oh, I can't believe you even think that or have that fear or have that problem or have that struggle. I can't tell you how many times I hear a spouse in counseling say, well, that is her problem. And as soon as she get, let me help you here. When you get married, you're one. Her problem is your problem.
Right.
His fear and struggle is your fear and struggle. Ooh, You don't want to shut your spouse down to where they don't think it's safe to actually reveal where they're struggling. And this takes time. We didn't get there in a hurry, did we, babe?
No, it took us a while.
Yeah. And if there's hurt, was there hurt?
There was great hurt. In our early until that was dealt with, it was very hard to feel safe.
So you did not immediately open back up to me. No. Once you've been hurt and you decided, I don't think he's safe. What we're talking about right now took some time. But don't lose heart. But would you agree you needed to see it not once, but kind of consistently?
Right.
That if I put a little something out there, how does he respond?
Mm-hmm.
How does he react? What does he say? And I want you to hear it, guys. One of the biggest things that happened to me is I got it, and praise God, I think it was God that gave it to me, in my mind, and I wrote it down in my prayer journal. I want to become the safest place for Vicky Bigney.
And he really has.
And I don't even have the gift of mercy, so that was a big ask. I was like, so also banish the thought, well, it's just not who I am. Vicky is so merciful, so tender, so kind, so wonderful, and I'm just not wired that way at all, but I'm her husband. So it's a great prayer. God, what would it look like for Brad Bigney, take charge, take the next hill, Mr. Command, Mr. Visionary, to actually convince Vicky that he is her safest place? And God did it.
And I think it's even more meaningful because I do see, you know, the type of job you have. It's very, it takes a lot of your time. It's very high energy. You're preaching, you're, you know, traveling. So for you to stop and make time and take time with me really just speaks volumes to me.
Yeah.
That's really encouraging.
Yeah.
Because I know you're a very high energy person. You have lots going on. You have a very, very, very full life.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you actually take time out of that to choose to communicate and that we can have a back and forth one anothering.
And be encouraged in this. Notice what she touched on. I was guilty of initially thinking, oh, wow, if that's what she needs, there's no way. Mm-hmm. I can't do the same job that I have. I can't do ministry. This will never work in ministry. You guys, I don't know what your deal is, but it's very likely the enemy, Satan, is lying to you saying it's not possible. I'd have to quit my job. Mm-hmm. I'd have to quit my job. I had those same thoughts, and it was a lie.
I think just to turn—
I didn't have to quit my job.
—toward your spouse—
Yep.
—and just be willing to sit and listen, that's just a huge gift.
Because here's what the truth is. It doesn't take as much as you think.
Right.
And God would not have brought you guys together.
Mm-hmm.
We believe God led us together. We really believe we were supposed to get married. He will give you what you need. And Brad Bigney has been able to accomplish becoming the safest place for Vicky while I still have the ministry I have, the job I have, the demands that I have. So, you know, just push back those thoughts of it can't be done.
Right.
It's not possible. I'd have to quit my job. Not true.
But you do have to have a desire, which we mentioned earlier on the show. Therefore, I'm making my aim to please him.
Yeah.
This is going to please
you
Christ.
You do have to. So
right?
Don't hear what I'm not saying.
There has to be a desire.
Did I adjust? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did I flex? Oh, yeah. Did I hit the brakes and ponder and pause and incorporate new things? Oh, yeah. But I could still do my job. But I did adjust because I thought this is more important than my job. My role of loving Vicky as a husband comes ahead of work and ministry.
And I didn't use that against him. I didn't use that privilege.
She didn't say that.
Right.
I want you to hear, I got a hold of that. Mm-hmm. God gave me that by his spirit, and it's made a huge difference because I think she senses, wow, I don't think he resents this.
Right.
I think it is his joy to do this. I'm convinced that he is for me because, like, one of the ways that my litmus test on this is I think to myself, if Vicky thinks something she's concerned about, troubled about, does she think she can say it to Brad? Is he safe? Would he receive it? Would he hear her out?
Right.
And I think earlier in our marriage, it was a no. She's like, it's got to be important enough. The timing has to just be perfect. It has to match his list of what's worthy of discussion. And now, is it fair to say that you would think, if you're thinking it, and you're like, I can go to bed.
Yeah, I think recently Brad's dad died about a year and a half ago. And so now his mom lives alone. And from watching her go through that, we've even had some good discussions about that. My sister-in-law found a wonderful handyman that helps her do chores around the house. You cannot imagine, when you don't have someone working on that full time, I mean, after his dad was dead for 6 months, I just went and thought, oh my goodness, there's weeds
here.
We've
watched your condo just, wow.
It's been a big change.
It's only been 18 months, but you realize there was a man working on this.
Day and
regularly.
Night, I think. So I thought, this really concerns me. Like, wow, what's going to happen if you die before me? Or how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
Even with the house we live in, it's still pretty large. What are we going to do? And we just talking through things like that.
And hearing her, then I responded. And I took probably 3, 4, 5 hours. I sat down and created a document that I put together and named it and told her where it is and how she could access it if I die, that captures everything she would need to know about our
HOA,
all of our accounts,
things,
all the passwords.
Huge.
How am I paying the HOA? It's three different fees for HOA.
Right.
How often do I pay? That took time, but I knew this would mean a lot to her because she was saying to me, wow, watching your mom. And then we've even decided, she said, oh, when you retire, I want to sit down
I
with
do.
You. And so we agreed.
I want to take over
for
some of the finances.
You know, 6 months to 18 months, I'm going to have her sit by my side. I'm going to gradually show her everything that I've been doing.
I want to learn.
So that she will know. Now, if she didn't care, all right. But she cares. She voiced this as a fear and a concern. And I've made time for it. Hey, we're going to take a break and then we'll come back because we're talking about what should you be talking about that a lot of couples never do that would move you in the direction of healthy, even thrive, instead of barely alive. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment. They're talking about becoming a safe place for your spouse to share their fears. Do you know what a marriage like Brad and Vicki's takes to put on the air? It's more than two people willing to talk honestly, which they do. I've told them both. They are probably the most transparent people that I know. But it also takes equipment, it takes production, it takes editing, a platform, steady support of people who decided that this was worth funding. Those people have a name, and we call them gospel partners. You could become one if you're not already a gospel partner. If you are already a gospel partner, well, praise God for you. We certainly are grateful for you. But if you're not a gospel partner and you thought about maybe becoming one because something you've heard here has impacted your life, listen, you can get all of the answers to all of the questions you have about what it would look like in your life at FortisInstitute.org. And we want you to spend some time praying over it. We don't want you to do it quickly. We want to make sure that you're giving to your local church because that's your number one giving priority. And we want to make sure that it is right for your life right now to join us. So all of the answers to all of the questions that you have right now at FortisInstitute.org. That's one way to respond. Another way, costs you nothing but a download. That's the Fortis Plus app. Again, it's free. It holds every single Thrive episode ever created. It's sitting right beside every single episode of Transformed, Way of Manhood, Integrated, The Better Way, In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle. Also, Wretched Radio, Fortis News, all of the content we create available right now at FortisInstitute.org, absolutely free of charge, hundreds of hours of audio and video content, and we're adding to it every day. Go download it right now, because we know there is something in your life that distracts you and pulls you away from your relationship with God. Fortis Plus can help pull you toward your relationship with God. Get it on your phone right now. You can download it to your smartphone, also your smart TV, or you can go to FortisPlus.org. Now let's get back to Brad and Vicki. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Vigny.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about what could you talk about that some couples never talk about that might move you in a direction of thriving instead of dying? And one of those areas is you want to become a safe place for your spouse. And it goes both ways. So we talked about before the break, Vicki watching my mom enter into widowhood and saying, oh, I want to understand more about what's going on.
I want to be better prepared
than what she did. Well, here's me. I've gone through some really tough years. The last 4 or 5 years of ministry have been my hardest of my 30 years. And so, wow, I have opened up and not been afraid to allow Vicky to see just how weak I have felt, how discouraged I have felt, how overwhelmed I have felt. And she didn't quickly just quote Bible verses to me. She listened and listened and didn't say, oh, Brad, it's going to work out. Romans 8:28. That would have really ticked me off. She would just listen. And here's what I appreciate. I think she knew, because these were not 5-minute meltdowns. These sometimes were 15, 20, 25-minute meltdowns. And she would just sit there because I think she knew when he's done unloading all this, a lot of it he doesn't even really mean. When someone's super discouraged, they can say things they don't. And I don't mean I was saying ugly things to her that I didn't mean. I was declaring things like, well, I'm just going to, and I can't do it anymore. I'm going to have to. And if she'd shut me down and said, Brad, you can't talk like that, that would have been discouraging to me. And yet there's a balance. There were times that she did look at me and say, Brad, but she'd already listened plenty. And then she said, Brad, I'm concerned. I think you really need to spend some time with the Lord and get clear on what's going on. You're guilty a little bit of exaggerated self-pity. And so let's talk about the balance, honey, of, be there for your spouse to express fears and stresses. But when does it come to a point where, all right, I don't think I need to keep doing this for them. They need something different.
And I see this often.
Didn't you sense that there were times that I needed something different? I needed a little bit of a push.
It's a very delicate balance. You really need to say, God, help me know how to gently, lovingly do this. Because I've seen it with spouses that the spouse is like, I am down, dooby-dooby-dooby, down in the pit of sewage. And now I'm not going to be happy unless you jump in here with me. And we're both just dooby-dooby-dooby down. And it's a sinful self-pity and anger. And, you know, this is so hard. I'm not going to be happy and I'm not going to feel supported unless you jump in the pit of despair with me and stay here for weeks, days, months.
And I don't know if it's true.
Saying you did that.
If we're just having awareness of it more or if it really is happening more. It seems to me it's happening more. That I'm seeing couples that I'm trying to help, and the person who is struggling, it becomes evident that their idea of support is until you jump in this quaggy pit of sewage with
and
me
get angry and
just
mad
say
and
there
upset
is no
and
hope, and I'm angry and I'm depressed, and I will rage with you.
Then you don't support me. And that's not what we're talking about.
And that is not what we're talking about.
And I think the times where, which once again, Brad was never angry, but that's something that I have a friend that often has this phrase, and it's so true. It says, she said, if whatever this problem is, if it's something time or money can heal, it's not a problem. I'm going to say it again. If it's something time or money can fix or heal, it's not a problem. So In light of that, sometimes when Brad was super discouraged, or sometimes when I'm super discouraged, we'll just say, hey, you know what? I think of the verse in Philippians 4, is there anything worthy of praise? Think on these things. And sometimes it's just good to stop and say, you know what? Wow, we still have our eyesight. You still have a great job.
But don't hear what we're not saying. She probably listened to me 8 out of 10 times and 2 out of 10 times did what she's saying now. Hey, is there anything praiseworthy? Because in a previous show we talked about, do not stunt a conversation. Don't be that person that gives a verbal Band-Aid to. So there's two ditches to fall into.
The biblical balance of tension.
Are you the spouse that just quickly gives a verbal Band-Aid? Oh, it's going to be all right.
That's not helpful.
It's going to be all right. Then you need to listen more. Let them emote. Be a safe place that... But if you're that person that you feel like I've heard it, and it seems like she's actually mad at me now, if I won't just jump in the pit with her and be absolutely miserable and hopeless with her, then she doesn't feel supported or he doesn't feel supported. That's not what we're talking about either. And so Vicky stayed on the rim of the pit.
Calling him back.
She even sat on the edge and dangled her legs over there and listened to me, but she prayed. You probably had to pray and discern. should I just keep listening?
And Brad is on the same thing for me. I mean, he's using himself as an example, but, and I love that verse in Ecclesiastes we mentioned several shows ago, you know, two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. And that really is what marriage is about.
Because over time, the daily practice of being emotionally honest and having someone who will hear it without judging you builds a sense of oneness and closeness and a sense of safety and being a partner. Because God really did intend, it shouldn't be that your spouse knows, I cannot share any struggle with them. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to bear it. They just snap right back. I got problems of my own. Because Ecclesiastes talks about two are better than one. And then it talks about a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking, well, who's that third person? Then welcome. This is a Christian show. And we've been taught about marriage, but notice how often we bring into view God, His Word, His Son, your Savior. It's you together with Jesus. And you're listening, saying, how would He have me navigate this? What would He want me to do now? What does His Word say? It's a threefold cord that's not quickly broken. And so it takes some discernment, but when you're filled with the Spirit, I hope you want to be filled with the Spirit in your marriage. You're just praying, today, God, help me discern what my spouse actually needs
most.
Give
me wisdom and discernment.
Don't let me, because I think about the verse that it says, rebuke an unruly person, hold on to the weak, encourage the faint-hearted. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5. That's a great verse for your marriage.
It's a great verse.
There is a time to rebuke your spouse, but if you are always rebuking and correcting, there's a time to just hold on.
Right. We each
They're
need
weak.
That.
I think, in all fairness, in the last couple of years, I've just been weak and faint-hearted, mostly not unruly and rebellious.
No.
And then it says, encourage the faint-hearted.
Right.
And so there's a place for each one of those, but you're going to have to pray. I have to pray when I'm doing counseling. Does this person need correction? Do they just need information and to be held on to? There's a place to just sit with someone and hold on to them.
Right.
They're weak. And then there's a place to speak encouragement. They're faint-hearted. All of that should come to bear in your marriage. And it might not always be easy to discern. So healthy marriages talk about the state of their marriage. They stay curious about each other and what the other person cares about. They talk about the future and draw in, open the windows, and don't just get lost and suffocated by right here, right now. Dream together and then be a safe place where your spouse could actually verbalize a fear or a stress. And then number five, believe it or not, we'll end on a happy, silly note. But see, it's worth noting, as he did this research, there is this number five. They share random thoughts. Just half-formed musings can be fun. Happy couples never think twice about sharing random ideas. You know, I had this thought in the shower, or what if, or just something.
Or you have
something,
certain things you do together. Like whenever we go down, Brad usually watches a thriller in the man cave. I'm upstairs and he gets this huge white platter out. It's just like a tradition. And we call it the trifecta, and it has Cheetos.
It's got handles on each side.
Yeah.
It's so big.
I mean, he gets little bowls and puts all these different snacks in there. What are some of your favorites, baby?
Oh, my goodness. And so notice, this was his fifth point. They cultivate playfulness and spontaneity. And so it's just our tradition now. Man, I call it the trifecta of salty snacks. Mm-hmm. My trifecta, my threefold go-to, is a bowl of hard Cheetos, not the big puffy ones, please. Hard Cheetos. A bowl of king-size Fritos, not the smaller ones. King-size that you're supposed to dip with, but I don't dip. I just like the big ones.
I always
ones.
Like to just watch it go by. It's
and then not
very
just
well
pretzels of any kind. Rolled Gold is the brand. If I'll put a Rolled Gold pretzel in my mouth and then a hard Cheeto and then a big salty king-size chip Frito.
So whenever he's on his way down, I always say, oh, bring it by and let me see. And of course, I usually
so
grab
knock
one
on
out of each bowl.
The bedroom door where she's watching her show, and I'll just tilt the platter and I'll say, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's almost always the trifecta, but there might be some nice cheeses. I like nice cheese that
some
we might
nuts,
buy at Trader
some
Swedish
Joe. Fish, some...
I like a 1,000-day aged Gouda.
Mm-hmm.
Often there's some slices of that. But notice, we're just talking about playfulness and spontaneity. Does your marriage and some of your conversation and use of words include any playful spontaneity. Words are powerful. They give life or they kill. They connect or they push away and they disconnect. And God gave us a stewardship of words. Your use of words are either helping your marriage or it's tearing it down. Ask God to give you more thought every day when you wake up. I'm about to use words in my marriage. Help me, God, to do what would cause us to thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.